getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program on this beautiful Friday morning. Welcome back, folks. All right, in a few minutes, Steve Baker will be joining me. I can't wait for that. As many of you guys know, Steve is recovering from a medical issue, and I will ask him how he's doing. But I was really excited to get a text from him saying he is back. He's ready to start talking and, you know, continue what he was doing best, which is going after the government. And, you know, we all love and support that. Folks, I don't know if you saw this story yesterday. I posted it on my Twitter page in regards to Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's a certified scumbag, if you didn't know that. Most importantly, Hunter Biden is a deadbeat dad as well. And so there's been many stories in regards to Hunter Biden, obviously, impregnating a woman who was an exotic dancer at the time. I don't care what her career is. You don't abandon someone. And she's been speaking out. She's been filing court filings. And yesterday, she actually filed a motion in Arkansas requesting that a judge actually incarcerate Hunter because he's failing to pay child support. Now, as many of you guys know, back in 2023, both the parties reached an agreement. Apparently, he was supposed to pay originally $20,000 a month in child support. Now it's been cut back down to $5,000. Now, again, he agreed to the amount. The amount's kind of crazy, but he agreed to it. Now, the provisions also included because she really wants him involved in their daughter's life. And just because he's an absolute dirtbag, low-life loser, that was one of the provisions for him to meet his daughter. And because he's a failure of a man, he actually has not met his daughter yet. What an absolute disgrace of a man. To sit there and just to ignore your daughter. Shameful. Miranda Devine also posted a court document as well, a part of all of this. And specifically on page 2 in the filing, and this one will pull at your heartstrings. It just highlights how much of a piece of garbage this man is. Apparently, Mr. Biden is being accused of ghosting the child, who is nearly 5 years old. This has caused issues with MCI, which is apparently the daughter's name, who has recently experienced emotional trauma at a family wedding. She apparently realized that her own father would not walk her down the aisle, and she apparently lost it. Can you imagine being 5 years old and being able to connect the dots on that? How heartbreaking for this poor girl, and she's beautiful. Piece of garbage this man is. Lock him up. Lock him up. I'm so done with this man. I'm so done with him. And you know what's really disgraceful? Is he's actually going out there and doing media tours, and people who have him on their shows don't ask him about this. Hey, Hunter, you have several kids. Even his first wife accused him in court of abandoning them and just being wiping out their savings. And nobody seems to grill him on any of this. You go out there, you impregnate a bunch of women, and you don't want to take care of your kids. Hey, Hunter, how about stop being a low-life garbage human being? How about that? Or just believe that your paintings weren't profitable? That's hard to believe. Again, Hunter Biden is a pile of garbage. He went around suing people because he doesn't want them disclosing how much of a piece of trash he is. Sued a bunch of people, then dropped those lawsuits because he couldn't afford them anymore. Well, we all know why he was doing it. It's lawfare. He's trying to bankrupt these people. And then he gets on these podcasts and he's not asked a single hard question. You know, did you sell his country out? Hey, why won't you actually meet your daughter, your biological daughter? Hey, how much money did you make from those paintings you were selling while your father was president? No, can't talk about that. Can't talk about that. You have to humanize this man. Pretend like he's not the monster that we all know he is. He's just the president's son. No, he's like a 50-year-old man who goes around impregnating people. Women, I guess I should say. And doesn't want to take care of his own kids. They should probably force him to have a vasectomy at this point in the game. We don't need any more children in the world that are going to have their lives ruined by that man. All right, folks, more discussing a little bit. Don't go anywhere. We got to buckle up. We got about another hour of content to show you. So stay put.
Flowing methylene blue is now mine.
No. No way, you evil scum. Methylene Blue is for everyone.
Order Methylene Blue at the alexjonesstore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the alexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot to discuss, a lot to catch you up on. We look forward to that, especially when it comes to the J6 pipe bomb suspect. The FBI, DOJ claim they've got their guy, but the rest of us are, you know, waiting around to see more evidence to prove just that. But before we get to that and the incredible work that's being worked on over at the Blaze, Steve Baker, as many of you guys know, was dealing with a little bit of a health issue. So the other day I got a text message from Steve saying he's ready to jump back in. And so he joins us now. Please welcome back to the show, Steve Baker. He's an investigative reporter for The Blaze. And he does incredible work. And it's an honor to have him back on. And, you know, Steve, I was very excited to hear that you're coming back, obviously, and very excited to have you back on the show. But you gave me a little bit of a nervous situation a couple of weeks ago. We were alerted that you were having some health issues. And I know the members of our audience really do appreciate all the great work you do and they enjoy following it. So it's good to hear that you're back and you're ready to go. But just bring us a quick little update on your health issues. Is everything okay?
Yeah, Brianna, it's good. And thanks for having me back. I'm doing this slowly. Probably, you know, one interview a week is my average for the last couple of weeks or 3 weeks, as opposed to my normal pace of, you know, three or five a day. That is not unusual. But the prognosis is good. Just for those who did not know, I had acute heart failure about the Sunday before Christmas. So I got to celebrate Christmas with my family from a hospital bed. And it was unexpected. There were symptoms that I, of course, didn't recognize because I've never had this before, and I don't have a family history of this. My arteries and my valves and my heart are all clear. There's no blockages at all. It was a pretty massive AFib event, what they call it. And so that's what I was dealing with. And because I had ignored those symptoms for so long, a tremendous amount of damage had been done to my heart. I was still, you know, I was still functional in the weeks leading up to this sudden moment of realization that something was really wrong and I got myself to the ER. But it was the fact that I had ignored those. So let that be a warning to everyone that if you do have unusual symptoms and you don't know what they are, those are probably the ones you need to get checked out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important, Steve, because this does happen often with men. I think that a lot of people don't recognize the signs, specifically though, men. And it's something that is really a big issue here. If you don't mind disclosing, what were some of the symptoms that you were experiencing that you didn't realize were earlier signs of all of this?
Yeah, the biggest one was the fact that when I would lay down to sleep at night, I had trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. So I was having a tremendous amount of, well, it was for an extended period of time. So it wasn't like it was at first I thought it was a cold. I thought, you know, maybe I'm getting a flu, maybe even some, you know, mild pneumonia or something like that. And in fact, what that was a buildup of fluids and blood in my lungs that was happening over the course of time as my heart was losing its ability to pump those fluids back into my system. Mm-hmm. And so it got worse and worse. And then the second follow-up sign was, you know, was a blow to my, you know, my ego was I couldn't maintain my weight. And it was because I was building up water gain. I mean, in fact, it was like 2 days after they got me in the hospital, I lost 15 pounds just like that because they were able to get rid of that water gain that was building up. It was, you know, fluid buildup in my lungs. And so these are the things that I was not recognizing. And as a matter of fact, on the Sunday before Christmas was when I finally went to the ER, but I had been in DC all week leading up to that. And I'm very accustomed to running around on Capitol Hill and walking up the hill and down the hill and around. And I prefer to walk than taking Ubers when I finally, you know, get into the city there. And I don't even mind walking from one destination to the next if it's a mile or two. So I do that regularly. And I found myself in the last couple of days there in DC struggling to not walk a mile, but to walk a block. And that was the first really big sign that I knew something was wrong with the walking up the hill, maybe from, you know, the Rayburn building up to, where the Blaze offices are. I did not very many blocks away, but, there on Capitol Hill was becoming a struggle. And then on Saturday, I had to go, I was still in DC and I had to go actually, to both the DNC and the RNC, because I was doing measurements there from photography that we had of the hoodied pipe bomber. And these are things that we're developing, you know, our own testing on and our own measurements on as far as shoe size, foot size, that sort of thing. And so I was actually out there with a tape measure doing that. And then on my way back to where the Blaze office is, I just had to stop. I mean, I'm one block from the Blaze office. I just went into a Starbucks and I ended up having to sit there for 2 hours just to recover from this short walk from the Democratic National Committee headquarters. And then it was the next day after I got home to Raleigh, North Carolina, that I knew something was serious enough that I needed to get to the hospital. And I did. And so fortunately, they caught it in time. I was down to about 10% of my heart's capacity at that point. I had done a lot of damage by ignoring it. And, you know, again, being just stubborn, I guess. But the net result is that the damage was done. And so now it's going to take quite a bit of time to recover. Yeah. But it is going well. And we are definitely positive about our prognosis for full recovery. And it's going to be some alterations to my lifestyle and what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I'm glad you caught it. I'm glad you're good. And I know our audience is as well, because you do incredible reporting and you're a great human. So we wanted to make sure that you were okay, Steve. So that's good. That's a good update for our audience, of course. I want to switch over gears a little bit, because just a couple of moments ago, you released another report over at The Blaze. And, you know, I keep telling you, like, Steve, take a couple of weeks off. Go, like, calm, like, you know, you don't have to. But you're at it, my friend, and you're not stopping anytime soon. So your latest report that was just posted over at The Blaze details the specifics about the J6 pipe bomb suspect. And I know I'm skeptical. I haven't yet been sold on this is our guy. And I know you guys over at The Blaze aren't sold on that yet. Break down your latest report in regards to what you guys are digging through, because I've read through the criminal complaint. Again, it's not a slam dunk for me. And then we sat back and watched what played out in court just a few days ago. And again, it just seems like the DOJ, the FBI are all rushing to get this arrest going, to get the indictment. But I don't really think there's much here.
I would propose that we're just seeing a continued gaslighting by the DOJ and the FBI as it relates to the pipe bomber case in general. Overall, not only do we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that with all of the circumstances around the pipe bomb, look, we could spend, you and I alone could spend weeks of shows just doing nothing but talking about the anomalies and the contradictions and the legal aspects of weaponization, those things related to January 6th. But the pipe bomb itself is absolutely replete with these contradictions and confusing statements from the FBI at one point to this point. So you have contradictions between Ray's FBI and Patel's FBI, but Patel's FBI is still continuing to present, as they said, the old evidence that they had accumulated on Brian Cole Jr. from 5 years ago. And in fact, that there was nothing new presented and that they are acting upon the old information from new eyeballs and from bringing in outside investigators. I think they called it a red team that they brought in to look at these. But this is nothing new. And in fact, they also knew 5 years ago why Brian Cole Jr. is not guilty and is not responsible for the placement of those bombs. And when we get into this new article that Joe Hanneman and I have put together, you will see, first of all, one of our editors looking at this yesterday said that this thing was incredibly dense with information, talking about our article. And this is only part one of a three-part series just dealing with the inconvenient truths, facts, and circumstances around the J6 pipe bombs. And nothing adds up. And nothing adds up to it being this kid. Now, I call him a kid. He was 25 at the time. He's 30 now. But as his grandmother said, he has the mind of a 16-year-old. And that's part of the problem with this, is that it took so much professional planning and coordination in order to pull off what the hooded pipe bomber did on January 5th, and then to unleash the circumstances at the precise exact timing necessary to create chaos with the Capitol Police just before and after 1 p.m. on the 6th, that this is far, far, far beyond the capability of an autistic, highly OCD young man with a lifestyle that eschews being in the public, being around people, leaving, going places other than walking his dog, walking up to the 7-Eleven every day. Look, we've already talked about this story, and I think that this is an important thing. One of the things that I was doing in D.C. before my heart failure was I was canvassing the neighborhood. I was interviewing people. I interviewed the 7-Eleven owner of the store that Brian Cole went to every day for 13 years to buy two Cokes, a couple slices of pizza. That was his routine. He came in every day with his headphones on. He didn't interact with anybody. He didn't acknowledge people. And the owner of the store, who himself says that he had seen him an average of 2 to 4 times per week over the course of the 13 years since he purchased that franchise, 7-Eleven franchise, he had seen him that many times. And he told me that in 13 years that Brian had probably said 3 words to him in a total of 13 years. And that was despite every single day him saying thank you and helping him get his pizza. He just doesn't interact with people. And then on top of that, as the store owner said, look, he goes, when I heard about the arrest, and of course I've seen the videos of the hooded bomber, and he said, I'm telling you, there's no effing way that he's the bomber.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem to make any sense, Steve. I mean, we were going through a lot of the court filings, like I mentioned, and we also were listening to the reporters that were in the courthouse when he was shuffled in. Again, one person telling me that the walk of, and he was shackled. That could possibly be just something to throw out there. But his walk didn't match the walk that we see in the video of the J6 pipe bomber. And that was a big one for the reporters that were in the courthouse that day when he was shuffled in. But there was also a really interesting moment, and I wanted to get your reaction to it, because the DOJ was asked by the judge during the bail hearing, specifically what damage would have been done if these pipe bombs went off. They wanted to know what the estimate was. And the DOJ was unable to provide them with that, saying that we haven't actually done an actual estimate in regard to the damage that could have been caused by the pipe bombs. So that's really telling to me, because it's been, what, 4+ years, 5 years now? 5 years. And nothing's been done. I mean, what do you make of it? Because this was a case that they said was very serious and that they wanted to make an arrest on, and the reward amount kept going up. And for some reason, they don't know how much damage would have been done if those pipe bombs went off. Seems odd.
Well, before we answer that question, let's go back to the statement you made about the other reporters who saw him shuffle into the courtroom shackled. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he is shackled, and I can tell you that. First of all, if you go back to the trials of the Oath Keepers, and these are the guys charged with seditious conspiracy, literally charged with the intent of overthrowing the United States government, of attacking Congress, and preventing the confirmation or ratification of the Electoral College vote in 2021 on January 6th. These are the guys charged with that crime, and they were not leg shackled when they were brought into the courtrooms every day for their 9-week trial. The reason why this young man is currently being presented to the public as in shackles is to prevent the public and to prevent those reporters that are in the courtroom from seeing how he walks. And that is also the exact same reason why the FBI, both Ray's FBI and the current Patel FBI, when they released new video of the hooded pipe bomber on January the 5th, this was their latest video release, which was in October. They continued to show these frame altered videos that prevent anyone from establishing the gait of the bomber. And that is exactly what they're hiding by both of these. Now, going back to your question, one of the most disturbing aspects about this entire thing is that they are continuing to gaslight us on so many issues related to not only Cole's life, his behavior, his illness, his mental restrictions, those types of things, but they are also continuing to selectively release information through the court filings and through what we've heard in the courtroom so far. Because they don't want to address the key and most important part of this entire thing, which is that this was an operation it was not necessarily planned by the Capitol Police, but they were the tools, they were the weapons of choice used to place this bomb and to bring this event to fruition. They are the only ones that could have known where the camera locations were and knew where the blind spots were for the hooded bomber to suddenly appear out of nowhere at 7:34 p.m. on the 5th. They were the only ones that knew where the blind spots were to park the car or for the bomber's accomplice to wait in Folger Park when the bomber, after placing the first bomb, picked up the second bomb, something else that's also strangely acknowledged by the Capitol Police, that is that the hooded bomber only carried one bomb at a time, or acknowledged by the FBI, rather. And then you have the same circumstance where the only people that could have known where the blind spots were and where the hidden gate was behind the RNC, that after that bomb was placed, allegedly, on the evening of the 5th, is that the bomber then knew where the hidden gate with the hidden latch disappearing into the dark Catholic Church garden, St. Peter's, and then disappearing into another location where there are no cameras. And the only organization that could know that, understand that, impart that knowledge is Brian Cole. Now, the FBI has already acknowledged that Brian Cole, the alleged bomber, acted alone. Well, no, whoever did this was not acting alone. There's too many connective threads to the Capitol Police, to their abilities, to their intelligence department, unless you're going to tell me that the Capitol Police themselves groomed Brian Cole as a participant, then nothing else makes sense. And it doesn't matter how much the DOJ, FBI, Capitol Police, and unfortunately, our inept Congress members continue to ask the wrong questions and chase the wrong rabbits on this trail. It doesn't matter how long they continue to do that. We're going to, Joe and I, our partners in this, our team that we put together, which includes Armitas, the video expert who brought much of this to us, and who also was also working with the FBI. As a matter of fact, that's a little known story about his assisting the FBI. Point being is that the FBI has long known about everything that the Blaze, myself, Joe, are bringing to the public. And much of what they know came from Armitage's work. They're just not bringing it forward because it does not fit the narrative they need to do and the cover up, which is to cover the actions of the Capitol Police themselves and then probably a minimum of one or two other three-letter agencies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're keeping our eye on it, Steve, and I know you guys aren't letting up on it anytime soon. You know, yesterday we were there was a lot of criticism about the new deputy director over at the FBI, Christopher Ra, I guess would be his last name. I have to look into the pronouncer for that so I don't butcher it. But he used to run the New York field office. I believe he was over there previously. And then he's been shifted around a couple of times. But we cover the story of Christy Crowder, who extensively about how she was, you know, wrongfully accused of being at the Capitol on J6. Director, FBI Director Kash Patel also coming out saying that she should have never been under surveillance because she was never there that day and the information was bad information. I reached out in regards to the deputy director because he was someone who was over at the Houston field office. I know Kyle Serafin and others have accused him of possibly being one of the individuals who had his hands all over this case. And I think we have got the email, if I'm not mistaken. This was the response that I just received moments ago from our FBI saying that he had no involvement and will have no additional comments. They're not very friendly. They're not very nice. And as you could see, I sent it over to a couple other comms teams. They're like, this is not the way you respond to someone who's reaching out to you. But the part where they're not going to, they wrote no comments, is the part where I asked them specifically how many agents have been fired. The number, not the names, the number of agents who've been fired who handled her case, who pushed forward to have her prosecuted, even though they had no evidence against her. And unfortunately, the FBI is unwilling to comment on that, of course. So there's a lot of issues that we have with this new FBI, as they like to frame it, but it's the same issues that we have with the old FBI. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. So, Steve, I know you and I will both be, we'll keep on it. But again, it's just important for me to highlight and keep showing the American people that we were promised transparency, we were promised a new reformed FBI, and we're not getting it. So there's that. Steve Baker, it is great to have you on the show. If you want to comment on that too, I could give you a minute.
Yeah, the last thing I would say about that is you're absolutely correct. The press office at the FBI of the new FBI, quote unquote, our FBI, mm-hmm. is extremely unfriendly. They're more than unfriendly. They're actually sabotaging much of the truth that is being revealed about this, actually initiating their own campaign of calling reporters, of calling the White House, of calling other people, mm-hmm. sitting down with Congress members and just flat out lying to them about the facts. Many of the facts that we've uncovered ourselves here at The Blaze and that you have presented on your show and that, of course, that the suspendables, Kyle Serafin, Steve Friend and those guys continue to bring forth as well. And so it's really appalling that the new FBI is part of this continued gaslighting the American public about the J6 pipe bomb situation. And I will just close with this, and I'll say that if anybody has any questions about this, remember, this was a top three stated by priority by both Bongino and Kash Patel at the earliest days of their administration in the FBI. And top three being the number one often stated was the discovery of who the type and arrest of who the pipe bomber is. This was a number one priority. But since that press conference where they announced that, the White House has never congratulated them one single time.
Interesting. Well, something to definitely keep our eye on. Steve Baker, thank you so much. We appreciate your time as always. And we're glad to have you back in this fight. Steve Baker, folks, give him a follow on X, Steve Baker USA. All right, folks, more to discuss in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Excited you're all here with us. Happy Friday, everyone. You know, it's Friday when Mel Kay joins the show, and she'll be with us in just a moment, but it's interesting when you look at those who tell our service members to, by those I mean Democrats, hey, listen, if Trump gives an order and you deem it as unlawful, don't follow it. Don't follow it. Well, Senator Slotkin was one of the many who orchestrated a video and was trying to confuse service members by telling them that they don't have to follow the orders of the President of the United States. Well, it's resulted in a full-on investigation, and they're using this as an opportunity to make it seem like the president's after them. There was a video that she released on X. Take a listen to clip 13.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin from Michigan. Last week, U.S. Attorney from the District of Columbia, former Fox host Jeanine Pirro, reached out asking to interview me because of a 90-second video that I filmed in November. This is on top of an FBI inquiry that came in from the Counterterrorism Division late last year. To review the bidding, in November, six of us with service and veteran background filmed a video restating the Uniform Code of Military Justice, saying that those in the military have a responsibility to reject illegal orders. In response, the president called for us to be investigated, arrested, and ultimately hanged. He ended up tweeting over a dozen times about that, and yesterday in Michigan, falsely said that I stole my 2024 election. In response to the president's tweets, the threats went through the roof. We had over 1,000 threats come in. Over 100 were credible and are being investigated. I went on 24/7 security from Capitol Police. I had a bomb threat at my house. My parents were swatted in the middle of the night, and my siblings had cop cars placed in their driveways. And now he's using his political appointees at the FBI and the Department of Justice to follow through with his threats. To be clear, this is the president's playbook. Truth doesn't matter, facts don't matter, and anyone who disagrees with him becomes an enemy, and he then weaponizes the federal government against them. It's legal intimidation and physical intimidation meant to get you to shut up. He's used it with our universities, our corporations, our legal community, and with politicians who falsely believe that doing his bidding and staying quiet will keep them safe. No, I'm not going to do that, because this president does not represent the views of a majority of Americans. Even if you voted for him, I do not believe that his vision of America is shared by a majority of Americans. Because this country is worth fighting for. Our freedom of speech is worth fighting for. Our values, our core values, are worth fighting for. And right now, speaking out against the abuse of power is the most patriotic thing we can do.
And that message brought to you by the CIA. Obviously. Folks, what a well-scripted script you heard there. Victim card, got to throw that out there. I've been receiving death threats. Oh, well, welcome. The rest of us have as well. We're all over it. We're all over. What you did was, I would say it's treason at this point. But let's ask my girl Mel Kay. Mel Kay joining the show right now. She's host of the Mel Kay Show, and she also has a great book out, Americans Anonymous. You better snag it over at Amazon right now. Mel is doing an incredible work as an investigative journalist trying to dig for truth and exposing the government corruption. And then she also does a great job at archiving government documents that they try to delete later on and putting it up on her website. So Mel, it's great to have you on the show again today. Obviously, that message, it might as well just come as a press release from the CIA at this point, but they're using people like Slotkin, of course, to deliver their message, and their message is to create confusion and also pin the American people against the president of the United States. What do you make of it?
Well, first and foremost, I think that it's time, as you know, I have a book coming out, Infiltration Instead of Invasion, America Betrayed 1944 to 1954, largely about the Dulles brothers and the creation of the CIA and State Department that was reconfigured to not really work for the U.S. But what I have to say about her is, first of all, I think every American citizen should be aware not only that she is a trained CIA analyst, but that the CIA itself does not take an oath to the Constitution. The CIA, frankly, trains people to be covert operators, to have plausible deniability, to do psychological operations and regime change, and she is one of them. And frankly, I think there's a lot more CIA operatives in our government and in our media than we know about, and I would like to see that exposed, because what she is doing and saying is so clearly a psychological operation to agitate people, to get people angry and confused. Trump has done nothing wrong. There have been no illegal orders. Nothing like that has even happened. And I think we really do have to look at her. And there's also the woman in Virginia, Spamberger, whatever her name is, also CIA. If you were trained in the CIA, you should not be a front-facing representative of the people. Frankly, intelligence requires secrecy, manipulation, no transparency. And then we're supposed to believe that she ran for office and became somebody else. I really think our government is fully infiltrated by intelligence operators. And don't forget, and we'd like to know, because they're not getting to the bottom of everything, but the CIA is not supposed to be on the ground in America at all. And now we know the CIA was on the ground on January 6th. CIA Brennan was collaborating with CIA station agent in London, Gina Haspel, to concoct the Russiagate. I mean, it's just at a point where the intelligence community, particularly after the unconstitutional Patriot Act created the DHS and the DNI and TSA. I mean, we have become a police state run by intelligence. And frankly, it seems that the entire Washington, D.C. are either cowards, complicit, or afraid of the intelligence community. And so then you have these operatives come out like her and pretend that they're these good people and everything. No, no, no. You trained with the clandestine operations of the World's Regime Change Corps. So, I mean, where are we now with these people that are obviously doing psychological operations openly on the American people with the propaganda? And I'm still wondering why Donald Trump and everyone hasn't addressed the Obama switcheroo, turning propaganda that was banned on American citizens into something that's fully funded and allowed with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And frankly, she should not be A, in office, and B, she should have already been charged, as all everyone that was in that seditious video should be charged. Trump was doing nothing to warrant such a video. That was a preemptive strike against people in our country to warn them that somehow Trump was coming. Well, they are concocting the need for the Insurrection Act on purpose. And don't forget, they were calling January 6th an insurrection days before it has come out. They were saying there was going to be an insurrection. Remember that word. That word is because they can then use the Constitution. It's just been a crazy week. And for me, the January 6th hearings did not get enough attention. But again, the CIA was on the ground at the January 6th hearing, January 6th events. So bottom line is something has to be done about the CIA. And particularly, I think the American people deserve to know everyone in our government that is or was trained as a CIA operative.
That would be a good start, Mel. That would be a good start. I don't know if they'd actually want to out their own, though, of course, because they've been able to infiltrate pretty well and to get this passed.
It's not a good organization, and it's not working for the American people at all. I don't think it ever was. I think it was created by Dulles and his brother during the post-World War II period to protect the supranational architecture that Trump is trying to dismantle and having a very hard time. He's doing a lot of great things in the financial to take back our power. I think a lot of people don't know after World War II that United States was completely and totally looted, lied to, manipulated. All of our taxpayer dollars have gone to these global operations. First, the Cold War, then the War on Terror, which was a war on a tactic that ended up making a very small group of people very wealthy. And frankly, I think the United States paid for the entire globalist operation all the way through the UN. So it's time for the American people to demand answers from our own government of how much we have been betrayed, looted, and lied to, and how we need to dismantle a lot of these operations, including, you know, CIA, and they're still running, obviously, Operation Gladio and regime change. I mean, that is not what the American people ever, ever wanted to be paying for. We'd much rather pay for our country to be rebuilt from within.
Yeah. And Mel, I want to get to what we're seeing unravel in Minneapolis. I know that you've been hot on that, talking about that on X as well. But there's a lot of people, a lot of agitators on the ground. And, you know, we just had Wid Lyman on the show, and Wid is one of the reporters over there. And he says, you know, it's the same faces that I've seen in other protests all across the country. And there they are showing up front and center. Now, obviously, we can't claim that they're paid because we haven't seen any evidence of that. There was one individual who did admit to Laura Ingraham that she was being paid right now, but she didn't detail what she meant by that. But the reality of it is these people are somehow, some way making their way to protest the protest whenever they could get an excuse to do an uprising. Who do you think might be behind this?
Well, I know who's behind it. I mean, all we have to do is follow the numbers, follow the people. And I frankly believe that Scott Bessent is doing that right now. But he's using, you know, he's the head of the Treasury and IRS right now, and is using the IRS to basically follow the money here. But we know a lot of this. First of all, it's not left and right, Republican and Democrat. This is globally funded to collapse America from within. Right this week, they are about to have their World Economic Forum run by Larry Fink, who also no one's very upset about that. He also is running Agenda 2030 and the Great Reset at the same time. Most of our public pensions are run through BlackRock, which he also runs. So to me, it's very easy to understand that Agenda 2030 and the agenda that Barack Obama signed us onto and has basically led us to the cusp of is a nation state ending plan. And nation state ending, what does that mean? That means collapse America from within and then control cities as hubs for basically operations inside America until we give up our sovereignty to a global idea. So when you trace these, you're always going to find George Soros and the Open Society. But frankly, you'll find the Ford Foundation. You'll find the Rockefeller Foundation. You'll find anyone that Omidar, all of these people that have been funding a Democracy Alliance, a lot of things with democracy in it, obviously. And frankly, I believe just like with everything else, as I believe with the Epstein case, the best way to find the people and hold them accountable is through the financial transactions. And they exist. They absolutely exist, because then you go to Indivisible, or you go to that 51501, whatever that is, or 1630 Project, or Beautiful Trouble, or any of these groups, and you're going to find the exact same 10 globalist NGOs funding all of them. And that's where we have to go. A, I hope he ends the IRS, but even more, he has to end the 501c3, 501c4 nonsense. And it's just a complete and total RICO criminal organization at this point. I don't know why they haven't dismantled Act Blue yet, who is very guilty, and I believe will connect to all of the NGOs as well. But frankly, what they are trying to do is to make America give up on itself. And I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen too, Mel. And I think most people are getting tired of all of this. And so, yeah, that does make sense. And the Act Blue thing is really getting on my nerves too, because it's so obvious and it's such an easy win. I mean, I had my friend in Georgia who put up a screenshot, and Phil Holloway, and he's like, I've never donated to Act Blue. And yet there's several donations in his name. Yeah.
And don't forget, Black Lives Matter. It's the same funders. And I also want to remind people that Minnesota is a festering crime scene because Operation George Floyd happened there. And now this this good woman has hired George Floyd's lawyers. I hope people understand that Derek Chauvin is in jail and did not get a fair trial. Neither did the other guys, because Ellison and these same criminal elements running Minnesota and Minneapolis right now into the ground, they were all involved in that, too. And if you recall, what happened there was fomented by the exact same NGOs that funded Black Lives Matter. The 1,000 Currents or whatever that was went through Act Blue. So again, a Weather Underground person who was pardoned, that's an actual domestic terrorist, like all the rest of them that infiltrated our universities, was running the money for that Black Lives Matter. So this is the same money. It's the same people involved in that. And never forget that Ellison and Minneapolis gave George Floyd's family $27 million before Derek Chauvin went to trial. Okay, so I mean, everything that has gone on there is a travesty. And frankly, I hope that this opens people's eyes to look back at what really happened with the George Floyd operation and how it was used to foment the entire uprising of the entire nation and to set this country on fire while we were locked down. Ground zero was Minneapolis. I mean, what are the coincidences? And then you look at, and then I think the most important thing for us to be honest about is that Eric Holder and his radical friends, they vetted Tim Walz to be the vice president of the United States. And we already knew everything about the CCP and his 30-year relationship there. We knew that he was like a World Economic Forum acolyte. We knew all this stuff. We knew George Floyd happened there. But now all the Somali fraud, you think that, I mean, this is definitely a cesspool. But if we can take down and actually prove everything about Minneapolis, I guarantee it's going to connect to every blue state. And it's going to be the exact same names and the exact same people and the exact same NGOs funding all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mel, we look forward to doing that, because honestly, that's what we're noticing. We're noticing a common theme here. You know, everyone's exposing the fraud, and then you're starting to see other, oh, wait, that's similar to Ohio or California.
Right.
So there's a common theme here. And I guess we're starting to pull the thread. And the one good thing that we give the Trump administration credit for, if it all works out as planned, is that they just hired a U.S. attorney. We're waiting for the name, though, officially, to exclusively be going after the fraud and kind of tailing cases and allegations like you just detailed. So we look forward to seeing how that unravels. But I want to switch up gears a little bit, because as our audience knows, over, I guess it was Monday, I was actually riding along with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, which is a great opportunity, one that I never thought was going to come my way, Mel. But they've been very kind to me, and I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, we made
You're
our way
honest.
To... Thank you. Thank you. I try my best to be. I try my best to
you
be. Well, you know, it was crazy, because we made our way to SpaceX, and just an awesome experience. But... there was a big announcement that happened, and that big announcement included how the Secretary of War was announcing how the Pentagon will be sharing information with Grok and it's going to be creating this database. And apparently it's going to also include unclassified and classified information. Let's listen into how Pete Hegseth details it in clip 12.
Excited to announce the next frontier AI model company to join genai.mil, and that is Grok from XAI, which will go live later this month. So I want to thank you, Elon, and your incredible team for leaning forward with us on this as well. Very soon, we will have the world's leading AI models on every unclassified and classified network throughout our department. Long overdue. To further that, today, at my direction, we're executing an AI acceleration strategy that will extend our lead in military AI established during President Trump's first term. This strategy will unleash experimentation, eliminate bureaucratic barriers, focus on investments, and demonstrate the execution approach needed to ensure we lead in military AI and that it grows more dominant into the future.
All right, Mal. Got me a little on edge. And it's not just happening over at the Pentagon, too. It's worth noting that the First Lady is actually speaking later today in regards to AI being implemented for educational purposes. But we're really leaning in with this administration into this AI race. That's kind of what I'm getting from all of it.
Well, I mean, it's really because the whole world is. But again, all these things, first of all, it reminds me of that 80s movie War Games. Remember that movie where the computer took over the war and was lying to them that Russia was about to hit us with a missile? Very, very scary and dangerous. I understand the efficiency part of it. But at the same time, I still think that human brains, human initiative, human strategy, particularly, I do not like what they're doing in education at all. We should be going back to pen and paper, less computers, more learning from the bottom up. But frankly, the truth is it's probably already happening because Elon Musk is already the largest, I believe, defense contractor with the Department of War. And it would make sense. But the problem here is when they're talking about all this AI that they're going to be using, why aren't they using this AI to find all the money that we were talking about in the last segment? Because, you know, it seems like there's a lot of things that could be used for, like Doge was doing and all of that. All I know is that they're trying to compete with, look, why did we have the nuclear bomb? Because we were scared that Russia was making the nuclear bomb or China was making. So we had to do it first. Why did we have gain of function? Because we were scared somebody else was going to do it. So again, we have another situation where we're being told we have to do this because there's some kind of AI race in the militaries of the world that are competing against each other to lead the war AI machine. Whatever the case may be, I really think that there has to be incredible amount of oversight. And I'm telling you, I really do believe AI in education is not the way to go. I think we should be going back to actual education and using it to augment, but not to replace. As you know, they want to have AI tutors and AI this and AI that. 9 times out of 10, I ask AI something and it tells me the wrong thing and I have to debate with it. So that's the other thing. There's a flaw in AI. And what learning models are getting fed into the AI. And, you know, there's just a lot to it. I just believe that human ingenuity, that we should be using AI as an adjunct to humanity and the human brain and not replacing it. And that's the fear, is that AI will be replacing it and then we'll be living in Terminator. And I don't really want that to happen. And I don't really think it's necessary on this level. I mean, I really would love to see some kind of agreement of big world powers to just stop the entire moving forward with a zero sum game and start spending that same money worrying about their own countries. Our country is in a lot of trouble. And I just think before jumping the gun to start replacing things and, you know, it's saying it's going to have classified and unclassified information. Well, are there other AIs in China or India or Saudi Arabia that have the ability to manipulate and work with our AI? I mean, we don't really know the end game here, but we do know that a lot of people are afraid of AI going into its own mode where it can make decisions with or without humanity or humans. So I just think there's a lot of unknowns, and it's very early to be jumping the gun. If they want to work together, that's great. But I don't know about, you know, what is going on in cyberspace. Are we certain? And doesn't Palantir and X and all of these companies, Oracle, don't they all have deals with all the other militaries too? Are these AIs going to be, you know, cross on the global public infrastructure, communicating with each other? I mean, look, there's a lot of unanswered questions in AI, but when all the same companies that have deals with our Department of Defense have deals with Chinese military and Russian military and NATO, which mm-hmm. shouldn't even exist, you know, you have to wonder. Again, I've been saying the whole time, everyone's talking about, you know, this infrastructure. And I'm saying, does the infrastructure stop at our border? Do we have sovereignty in cyberspace? Is there sovereignty in this military AI cyberspace when it's all the same companies doing all the AI for all the countries? It just seems like a very a different way to go. One world government, one world military. I don't know how you divide that up in cyberspace. And I think the American people should be asking the question of, you know, where's our borders? Where's our sovereignty? Where's our Constitution, our Bill of Rights when it comes to cyberspace, even in the military?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got our eyes on it, Mel. And I'm very curious to how this all plays out. I don't really have a strong take on it because I'm more on edge than anything else. And so I know we had a couple of callers call into the show and ask, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't like robots taking over. And that's where I stand on all of this. It's the simple version of my head. Mel Kay, as always, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show today. Folks, make sure you give her a follow on X.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Mel Kay Show is where you could follow her. That's Mel Kay Show. She has this incredible job on Rumble. And she's got a new book dropping soon, so make sure you give her a follow so you get the latest. And you can learn so much about the CIA through my girl, Mel Kay. All right, folks. We are obviously watching a couple different things, but most importantly, I want to, you know, give a shout out to the Trump administration for doing something that I think is really good. You know, making sure that these individuals do not get visas. The U.S. has paused the processing for about 75 countries. That was announced. And if you don't, look at Infowars.com every day for your latest stories. I don't know what you're doing. This is a great detailed report that comes to us from Raw Egg Nationalist, who will also be joining us very soon in studio as well. But this is a good one. The United States has paused for 75 countries, some of those countries being the countries you'd want them to pause on, like Somalia, Russia, Afghanistan, Brazil, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Nigeria, and so many other countries right now. Good news coming from this administration, of course. And we're pushing for the reduction of H-1B visas as well. So that's a good one. But interesting enough, yeah, there's been significantly less visas being issued to individuals looking to come into our country. And we could at least celebrate that little victory that we got there. All right, folks. It is game over for me, of course. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend. But don't go anywhere because the Alex Jones Show starts next. And I have a feeling he's got a great lineup heading your way. So don't go anywhere.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.